भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरे नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोक भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। व्हाट इज नेम ऑफ प्रभु? हरे कृष्ण। व्हाट्स योर नेम प्रभु? गॉर्डन। जॉर्डन। जॉर्डन। वेयर आर यू फ्रॉम? ओके ओके, सो यू आर जस्ट विजिटिंग। ओके, वेलकम। हरे कृष्ण। So we will continue our study of sixth canto. This week we'll complete sixth canto. Chapter 16, King Chitraketu meets the Lord. Text 1, Shri Badarayani Ruvacha Atha Deva Rishi Rajan Samparetam Nipatmajam Darshayit Veti Hovacha Yati Namanu Sochatam.
Shri Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King Parikshit, by his mystic power, the great sage Narada brought the dead son back into the vision of all the lamenting relatives and then spoke as follows."
Okay, so this is by his mystical power, Narada, he speaks to the dead son and the dead son responds. You know, so it's a very interesting episode. Shri Narada Uvacha Jivatman Pashya Bhadram Te Mataram Pitaram Chate Suhrido Bandhavastapta Sucha-tvat-kritaya-brisham.
Shri Narada Muni said, "O living entity, all good fortune to you. Just see your mother, your father and mother. All your friends and relatives are overwhelmed with grief because of your passing away."
Okay, so Narada Muni says, "O living entity, Jivatman." Right? So Narada Muni is addressing the living entity over herein. Right? He doesn't say, "O dear son of the king or child," you know. He's addressing the Jiva, the living entity. Jivatman, Pashya Bhadram Te. Just see how your parents are lamenting. Right? Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's to destroy any remaining lamentation, and especially the queens and the, all the other relatives are lamenting. Right? Even if the king has become receptive, but still all the other relatives, the queen, right, they are all lamenting still. So therefore, Narada Muni, he propounds this wisdom of the eternality of the soul through the mouth of the dead son over here. So we'll see that. So there is definitely a need. Okay. Kalevaram sam avishya Sheshamayuhu surhidvrata Mukshva bhogan pitra prattan Adhishta nipasanam.
Because you died untimely, the balance of your lifetime still remains. Therefore, you may re-enter your body and enjoy the remainder of your life, surrounded by your friends and relatives. Accept the royal throne and all the opulences given by your father.
Okay, so looks like Narada Muni is kind of sympathizing with the relatives and friends and saying, look, you left untimely. You know, the balance of a lifetime still remains in this body. So, O Jivatman, O living entity, please re-enter this body again. And you enjoy the remainder of your life, surrounded by your friends, relatives. Right? You are born in a royal family. So like that, so Narada Muni says. Right? Vishnu Thakur says, Narada is actually fooling the king. Because the lifetime of the living entity in that body was not remaining. But Narada Muni is saying, just see, you know, still you have left untimely, still the lifetime within the body is remaining. So please re-enter. Right? So Narada Muni is fooling, but as is described that the great souls also cheat sometimes for a great cause. You know, we have read that. So therefore, Narada Muni is kind of sympathizing with the king, but he will propound the truth through the mouth of the son. You know, the son will say, no, there is nothing remaining in this body now. The son will speak, right? The dead son. Or sometime, whether the Narada Muni by the mystical power got the son to speak, it was perceived like that. Or Vishnu Thakur also says that the Narada Muni, the sage himself, entered the body of the son. And he spoke. Right? And he spoke. Just like once when the wives of Hiranyaksh were lamenting, right? Then in the seventh canto, then the story is mentioned. Then Hiranyakashipu tries to pacify. And he narrates a story previously that once another king of Kushinagar or some place had died and the queens were not allowing the body to be taken away. Then the Yamraj had come in the form of a small boy. So when that small boy spoke the truth, you know, such highest truth, then everyone accepted it. You know. So therefore, who is speaking, you know, who is the best person from whom people will listen? So Narada Muni, therefore, by his mystic power, spoke the truth to the mouth of the dead son. And hearing that truth, actually everyone's, as you will see, everyone's lamentation went away. Right? Everyone's lamentation went away. So it is a fact actually, you know. Through whom the knowledge should be expanded, who is speaking, you know, etc. is also very important. Right. So if the Yamaraj had come in the form of a sage, you know, then people may not have been very receptive in that case. But he came as a small child and he spoke the science of self-realization. It was very effective. You know? So, who will be effective to preach, you know? It's a science actually. Just like sometimes the devotees, you know, for many years they go in pant shirt to the college. You know, Gopinath Chandra Prabhu after joining, 6 years, even 5 or 6 years after joining, he would be seen in the ashram in pant shirt and hair. He didn't shave also for 5-6 years actually. He was in white only, didn't accept saffron, and he would go in pant shirt. And as a, you know, he was because since from same college in the pant shirt, as if he's a working person, you know. So he would speak to them, and he was effective in preaching, you know. So like that. So what is the vesh in which a person speaks? So we say that Narad Muni he takes the vesh of the small boy, the same dead son, and he speaks the truth. And it was very effective. So, therefore, the preaching is a great science. Right? Preaching is a great science. Like another example coming to my mind. When Gaurang Prabhu would go home, he would not preach to his parents. He would take Nityanand Prabhu. You know, Nityanand Prabhu is thin. So he took Nityanand Prabhu along with him. Nityanand Prabhu preached to his parents. Gaurang Prabhu didn't preach. When Nityanand Prabhu preached, it was more effective. You know, so because the parents are not usually ready to hear instruction from the son, you know. That is a more affectionate and different relationship. So like that. Text 4. Jiva Uvacha. कस्मिन् जन्मने अमीमह्यम् पितरो मातरो भवन् कर्मभिर् ब्रह्ममानस्य देवतिर्यन्नर्योनिषु.
By the mystic power of Narada Muni, the living entity re-entered his dead body for a short time and spoke in reply to Narada Muni's request. He said, according to the results of my fruitive activities, I, the living entity, transmigrate from one body to another, sometimes going to the species of the demigods, sometimes to the species of lower animals, sometimes among the vegetables, and sometimes to the human species. Therefore, in which birth were these my mother and father? No one is actually my mother and father. How can I accept these two people as my parents?
Okay, so the child speaks. He said, you know, suppose there is a person who travels extensively, you know. And some person and people do make friendship in train, same compartment. And then a person calls up and says, hey, you remember I met you in the train? He said, every week I take so many trains, you know, council train, you know. You have to give reference, you know, which train you met me in, where you will be travelling, you know. Because a person travels so frequently, you know, somebody may be travelling every week to some place or another, right? So like that, so this boy says, wait, which species? They were my parents, kind of, you know. He speaks like that. Prabhupada puts in, right? Kasmin janmani, which birth they were my parents? The child is a little bit confused. Because so many births he has taken, you know, in so many species. He says, whether demigods, deva, tirya, nar, yoni, shu, which yoni you refer to, sir? Right? So, kind of, so this way, propounding the nistatva gyan, right? Or the science of the soul over here. So, Prabhupada says in the second paragraph, the living entity has no true relationship with the material body he gets from his material father and mother. He is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, but he is allowed to go through different bodies. Text 5. Bandhu gyatyari madhyastha mitru dasena vidvisa sarva eva hi sarvesham bhavanti kramasho mitha.
In this material world, which advances like a river that carries away the living entity, all people become friends, relatives, and enemies in due course of time. They also act neutrally. They mediate. They despise one another. And they act in many other relationships. Nonetheless, despite these various transactions, no one is permanently related.
So Prabhupada very beautifully points out, it is our practical experience in this material world that the same person who is one's friend today becomes one's enemy tomorrow. Right? So he's saying it's by the force of the time, when the living entity is being carried, someone becomes a friend, enemy, relative. But the same relation changes. So Prabhupada again points out that, you see the fourth line, Chitraketu Maharaj was lamenting for his son who was now dead, but he could have considered the situation otherwise. This living entity he could have thought was my enemy in my last life, and now having appeared as my son, he is prematurely living just to give me pain and agony. Very much possible, you know. Some enemy just to give pain may appear for a short time and then leave that body, and there is so much pain. So by the force of the time, today someone is a friend, you decried the friend, and the friend may become your enemy. In this lifetime only we see, you know, friend turn into enemy. So the enemy can turn into friend. So all these relations interchange. So Prabhupada saying, look, Chitraketu Maharaj would actually can rejoice also. Knowing the nature of the world, temporary nature of the world, it could have been some enemy who just came to give him pain and agony. So Prabhupada said he can rejoice, oh, enemy came, you know, now the enemy is gone. Better the enemy has left. You know? Why, Prabhupada says, why should he not consider his dead son his former enemy, and instead of lamenting, he be jubilant because of the enemy's death? Right? So, that's how it is actually. Right? This is the nature of the material world. Just this relationship keeps changing. Someone is a neutral party, not affected. Someone is happy. You know, the same incident depends upon the relationship, and the relationship keeps changing. Right? So like that. Text 6. Yatha vastuni panyani hemadini tatastata paryatanti narishvevam evo yonishu kartishu.
Just as gold and other commodities are continually transferred from one place to another in due course of purchase and sale, so the living entity, as a result of his fruitive activities, wanders throughout the entire universe, being injected into various bodies in different species of life by one kind of father after another.
Okay, so yatha vastuni panyani hemadini tadastatha. So he said, just like the various commodities, they keep changing hands. Example of gold. Gold used to be a medium, you know. So nowadays, say, take a example of 100 rupee note. He said, 100 rupee note, how many pockets he has passed through? How many wallets it has gone through, you know? Someone said, this belongs to me, my wallet. But then the person gives away. went into someone else's wallet. Is it not? Sometimes go to the ATM machine. Right? So many people's wallet, it has passed through so many ATM machines, it has gone through, you know. And so many people claimed, but it has, there are no permanent relationship with any of them. It is like a commodity moving. So therefore, the living entity actually has no relation with the body. What to speak of the relation with other bodies? The living entity has no relationship with one's own body. It just happens to get that body for some time. You know, it's just like a garment is there. You know, so many garments may be manufactured in one factory. So you have a garment. You know, what is the relationship with the garment? You don't have any factual relationship with the garment. It will thrown away one day. Then what to speak of one garment related to another garment? You said, okay, you know, we are made, both are, we are made in China. You know, we are made in the same factory. Oh, we are related to each other. Said, what relation, you know? It's just a commodity. You go here, you go there. One is then thrown in the garbage. You know, it's like we are one garment, set of garment. We say, oh, this is a very close relationship. Like that. You know? They are both classmates, you know, both these t-shirts, they were in the same factory for some time and they were in the same outlet, so they were more closely related, you know. It's all, there is no meaning to that. It's, that's how human beings form relation, that's how the illusion is, right? Yatha vastuni panyani. The example, I give the example of a garment, the example of a currency is given which changes hand, you know, as we just discussed. So Prabhupada just says in the second paragraph, and the laws of the nature force a living entity to go to different fathers and mothers, just like a consumer commodity that is purchased and sold. Therefore, the so-called relationship of a father and son is an arrangement of prakriti or nature. It has no meaning and therefore it is called illusion. Remember, this is illusion when we are talking from the spiritual platform. But if you say, otherwise if you see, there are, the scripture describes the duties of the son, you know. The son has so many duties to perform. There is a dharma of the son. Is it not? Right? The father has many duties towards the son. The son has many duties. All described in the scriptures. Right? So, that is, so it's not, this is when from a spiritual reality, from a pure spiritual perspective, actually all relation to the son and the father is all illusion. But one important point is, one cannot mix, you cannot apply social perspective, spiritual perspective in social dealings. You cannot take excuse of this spiritual perspective and not respect one's father. That the scripture describes, it will be a great sin or an offense also. Right? So one should not mix various perspectives. One should know that this is a complete spiritual perspective. Right? How one should, this is described so that one become detached gradually and comes to the spiritual platform. But still on a social perspective, there are many duties. Right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, the son cannot repay the debt of the father fully, even in hundreds of lifetime. You know, it's said in CC actually. That's a social perspective. Yes, the body has been given by the parents and we owe the debt to them. We are supposed to respect them from a social perspective. Right? But ultimately, there is no spiritual relation. Therefore, it's an illusion. Right? Again, Prabhupada continues to expound that how living entity takes shelter of animal father, a bird father, you know, or a demigod father, Prabhupada quotes this verse, Brahmand Brahmite Kaun Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Right? So, a living entity has obtained so many father, you know, a fish father, and a mother, and the bird, and the animal, and insect, and so many actually. But so therefore this verse is very beautiful. Janame janame sabe pita mata pai. Every birth there is a father and a mother. Krishna guru nahi mile bhaj hari yai. Right? But however, the shelter of guru and Krishna is not obtained. It is obtained very rarely. Right? So therefore that shelter is actually which will connect us to the Krishna. That is a factual relationship. Okay, so Prabhupada in the last few lines says that actually there is no difficulty getting parents and the mother and father in every lifetime we had. This is not very difficult. The difficulty is to obtain a bona fide spiritual master and Krishna. Therefore, the duty of human being is to capture the opportunity to come in touch with Krishna's representative, the bona fide spiritual master. Text 7. नित्यस्यार्थस्य संबंधो हि अनित्यो दृश्यते निशु यावदस्य हि संबंधो मत्वं तावदेव हि.
A few living entities are born in human species and others are born as animals. Although both are living entities, their relationships are impermanent. An animal may remain in the custody of a human being for some time, and then the same animal may be transferred to the position of other human beings. As soon as the animal goes away, the former proprietor no longer has a sense of ownership. As long as animal in his position, he certainly has an affinity for it. But as soon as an animal is sold, the affinity is lost.
Okay, so basically this verse is that in this world we form this sambandha, the relationship, right? But this relationship is a temporary relationship. Every relationship in this world is temporary. Whether Prabhupada elaborates that by giving an example of a household animal. One of the animal, one may sell the animal, buy another animal, right? This example was shown by the object, it changes the master, and now the relationship with some animal or someone, right? So there is a sambandha which is formed, but this sambandha keeps changing, right? So I said the mamatvam, the feeling of possessiveness is there as long as the sambandha is there. And because the relationship keeps changing, therefore one's possessiveness also keeps changing. One's possessiveness also keeps changing. Right? So like that. And we see that even in this life, you know, that is overall in a sequence of lives, there are so many relationship forms and there is a feeling of possessiveness, which can be seen within this life also. You know, a person possesses. And there is affection, there is a relation, there is a possessiveness. The relation is gone, possessiveness is gone. In this world, right? We see that. Okay, go to text 8. Evam yoni gato jiva sa nityo nirankrita yavad yatro palabheta tavat svatam hitasyatat.
Even though one living entity becomes connected with another because of relationship based on bodies that are perishable, the living entity is eternal. Actually, it is the body that is born or lost, not the living entity. One should not accept that living entity takes birth or dies. The living beings actually have no relationship with so-called fathers and mothers. As long as he appears as the son of a certain father and mother as a result of his past fruitive activities, he has connection with the body given by the father and mother. Thus, he falsely accepts himself as son and acts affectionately after he dies. However, the relationship is finished. Under these circumstances, one should not be falsely involved with jubilation and lamentation.
Okay, so again the child is speaking. Evam yoni gato jiva. Although the jiva, living entity, goes to a particular yoni, particular body. Sanityo nirankara. The living entity actually have no material identity with that yoni. Right? Although it enters a particular species, actually there is no material identity. It's just a false imposition. Just like Prabhupada would say, you know, the Krishna consciousness is not a superficial imposition. Right? But all the designations are actually superficial impositions. So they are all various identities, various upadhis, they are nothing but superficial impositions upon the living entity. But living entity is actually nityo nirahankrita, eternally free from all material identities or designation. Nityo nirahankrita. All that goes to various species. Okay, and yavad yatrob labhet tavat swatam hitasyatat. Where the living entity is put into, he identifies with that situation. He put into the next, he identifies that situation. He put into the next, he identifies with that situation. But actually, none of these situations actually belong to the living entities. Right? He just keep the entity keep changing, material entity keep changing. Like that. So the coverings keep changing. Coverings keep changing. Right? Okay, we go to text 9. Yes. Okay, we'll ask your other classmates. Yavad yatro vilab. Anyway, that's this. That one find happiness, jubilation, yavad yatro vilabhete. Means as one gets a particular identity, he enjoys lament, this and that. But he is saying that under this circumstances, one should not be falsely involved with jubilation and lamentation. Good question. What is the meaning of that? If a child is born, should a person celebrate or not? Again, okay. So, but he should celebrate or not? A social event. Yes. Okay, what else? Yes. Yeah. So what is the meaning of this statement? Under these circumstances, one should not be falsely involved with jubilation and lamentation. What does that mean? Okay, you said that one should know that this is illusion. Now we are going to celebrate illusion. Okay. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, so one can under these circumstances one should not falsely involved with jubilation and lamentation, right? So one should not have with the false understanding and with the false hope, the jubilation and lamentation is condemned over here. You know. So, with the right understanding, one can actually celebrate. You know. So there has to be there should be no false understanding, right? So in the right understanding, in the right way, everything has its place actually, you know. Even the even the things which are glorified in the scriptures like tapa, dana, yajna, when they are done with the false understanding and with the false expectation, they are condemned actually. Right? If you ask it, hey, what about tapa, dana, dude? It's, oh, very good. But all these things are done by the demons also. Tapa, dana, yajna, right? They have the false hope to enjoy from that, you know. So all that is condemned also. Although the things which are glorified in the scriptures, they are condemned when done with the false expectation, with false understanding, right? So like that. So therefore, with the right understanding, with the right desires, one can actually celebrate and perform. That is not condemned. Right? So each thing has its place when there is a right understanding, right expectation. Like that, right? Okay. Esha nityo vaya sukshma. Esha sarvashraya sudrek. Atmamaya gunair vishvam. Atmanam sijate prabhu.
The living entity is eternal and imperishable because he actually has no beginning and no end. He never takes birth or dies. He is the basic principle of all types of bodies. Yet, he does not belong to the bodily category. The living entity is so sublime that he is equal in quality to the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, because he is extremely small, he is prone to illusion by external energy. And thus, he creates various bodies for himself according to his different desires.
Okay. So if you see, this verse explaining the nature of the living entity, saying, Esha, this living entity is nitya, is eternal, is avaya, is imperishable. It is sukshma, very, very fine, not to be seen by the material eyes. Sarvashraya, the cause of different bodies. Sodrik, self-effulgent. It is a self-effulgent quality, being the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So in this way, if you see each quality, Vishwanath Thakur explained this verse applying it to the Supreme Lord, who is also Nitya, Avya, Sukshma. Right? How is the Lord Sukshma? Sukshma means subtle. How is the Lord Sukshma? Yeah, he is also not visible by material senses. Right? He is also covered with his own energy. Right? So, and he is Sarvashraya, right? He is the shelter of all the living entities, and the Lord is self-effulgent, all the living entities. If you see, all the verse, this verse completely applies to both living entities and the Supreme Lord. But the meaning of the word will be slightly different. Because the living entity has, qualitatively the living entity is same as the Supreme Lord. Right? So we'll find many verses in Bhagavatam wherein some acharyas have explained that verse in terms of the living entity and some have explained in terms of the Supreme Lord. It applies to both. Applies to both. Right? Like that. Guru text 10. Nahi asyasti priya kaschin. Na priya so paro piva. Ekaha sarvadhyam drishta. Kritnam gunadoshayo.
For this living entity, no one is dear, nor is anyone unfavorable. He makes no distinction between that which is his son and that which belongs to anyone else. He is one without a second. In other words, he is not affected by friends and enemies, well-wishers or mischief mongers. He is only an observer, a witness of the different qualities of men.
Okay, so nahi asyasti priya kaschin. Again, Prabhupada also explained this very in the purport. The living entity has the same quality as the Supreme Lord. So the verse again applies to both of them. Right? The Supreme Lord or his part and parcel, his spiritual fragment, the living entity. Nahi asyasti priya kaschin. For the living entity, actually, there is no favorites in this world. You know, someone asks, you know, what is your favorite drink? He said, I like mango juice. Someone said, I like strawberry juice. Right? He said, no, these are not favorite of the soul actually. Nahi asya. Or any situation, nahi asya, priya kaschin, na apriya. You know, and there are no things which he hates actually. All applies to the material, on the material platform. Na so paropi va. He is mine, right? He belongs to me, and he is someone else. The conception of sopara is also not for the soul at all. Ekha sarva soparo apiva. So, Eka sarva dhyam drishta krita nam gunadosheyo. Okay, so in this way, the Supreme Lord, the living entity, he is one without a second, and he is not affected by any of these material qualities, right? Many of the right activities, wrong activities, like that. So the living entity has been just described as an observer, witness, and a witness. He is a drishta, right? And he's just an observer. And the living entity is actually just witnessing, while the Supreme Lord is also in this world. The living entity, nothing of these qualities are described, sopara or priya applies to the soul. Only thing is, the living entity is actually just observer in this body, just observing. And the Supreme Lord is also an observer, but he has another additional role which is not that of the living entity. What is that? He is the sanctioner also. Right? So the living entity is simply an observer, while the Supreme Lord is observer and sanctioner. Right? Okay, we go to text 11. Na datta atmahi gunam, na dosham na kriya phalam, udasina vada asina, paravara driga ishvara.
The Supreme Lord, Atma, the creator of cause and effect, does not accept the happiness and distress, the result from fruitive activities. He is completely independent of having to accept a material body, and because he has no material body, he is always neutral. The living entities, being part and parts of Lord, possess his qualities in minute quantity. Therefore, one should not be affected by lamentation.
Okay, so Prabhupada is saying, second paragraph, Maharaj Chitraketu was advised that remaining neutral in such trying circumstances as the death of one's son is impossible. Nevertheless, since the Lord knows, how to adjust everything, the best course is to depend upon him and do one's duty in devotional service to the Lord. Okay, so so the Supreme Lord is have this quality of remaining neutral, You know, he is not affected by any material circumstances. Right? But for a living entity, it is extremely difficult. Prabhupada is therefore saying, Chetaketu Maharaj was advised that remaining neutral in such circumstances, the death of one's son is impossible. Right? It's like someone may say, don't be affected by the death of one's son or the birth of one's child. Can anyone, is it actually practically possible for anyone? You know? It's an impossible thing actually to do for any living entity. Right? But therefore Prabhupada says, but the Supreme Lord, one should actually depend upon Him and one should continue one's devotee in devotional service to the Lord. Right? So as long as we are embodied to completely remain neutral is impossible for a conditioned soul. You know? To not be affected at all. So for a conditioned soul, how it is advised that one can remain in free from dualities in a transcendental state by continuing one's devotional service. You're feeling too cold, whatever it is, you know. You do your devotional service to the Lord. Continue your service. You're feeling too much heat, still you have to continue your service. So in this way, in every circumstance, going on with one's devotional service, then one actually is in a situation where he's free from the dualities. Because in all the dualities, he's continuing his service. Right? So therefore, the point is, it's impossible for the conditioned souls not to experience dualities. It's impossible. Therefore, one should remain unaffected by dualities by engaging in the service of the Lord. Right? Who doesn't experience any dualities of this world? So by being connected with Him, the Lord protects the conditioned soul by being carried away by the dualities. So for an embodied living being, it's impossible not to experience duality, is it not? For an embodied soul, it's impossible not to experience the dualities of this world. Everyone will experience the duality in this world. Therefore, one should remain connected to the Supreme Lord, who is beyond all the dualities. You know, they are beyond the experience of any of these, and by being connected to Him, then Prabhupada says everything is adjusted well by the Lord. Then, right? So it's a nice point which is made over here.
Shri Badarayana Uvacha Iti Udiryagato Jeevo Gyatayastasya Te Tada Vismita Mumuchu Shokam Chitvatma Sneha Shinkalam.
Shri Sukadev Goswami continued, when the conditioned soul Jiva, in the form of Maharaj Chitraketu's son, had spoken in this way and then left, Chitraketu and other relatives of the dead son were all astonished. Thus, they cut off the shackles of their affection, which was due to their relationship with him, and gave up their lamentation.
Okay, so hearing these words of the temporariness of the material body and all the relationship and all the material identity and the eternality of the spirit soul and the eternal relation the spirit soul has with the Supreme Lord. Right? What is the? Chitva Atma Sneha Shinkhalam. Right? So this knowledge spoken by the child led to the cutting off of the strong chains, you know, Sneha Shrinkhalam, which is a very strong chain, you know. It's not easy to cut that chain. But however, they were all very astonished and all their lamentation and illusion was cut to pieces by this knowledge. So there is a very beautiful episode in Chaitanya Charitamrita, similar, very similar. I'll briefly describe to you. It's very sweet also, you know. Wherein the son of the Shivas Thakur leaves the body while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing Sankirtan. Right? And then when it comes, a long time passes. You know, it happened in the morning and in the afternoon, few hours had passed, you know, then it was brought to the notice of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord went inside the house with his devotees. And then the ladies were lamenting and all of them, right? And the Lord just asked the child, "Why have you left the house of Shivas Thakur?" The Lord asked the child. Right. So it described Mrita Shishu Tarakaray Prabhu Sane. So the dead child, he temporarily got up and spoke to the Lord. Prabhu Sane means in proximity to the Lord, he was just lying down. Mrita Shishu Tarakaray Prabhu Sane Parama Adbhuta Shune Sarva Bhakta Gane. It's very astonishing, you know. Such an incident. So all the devotees were hearing. Shishu bale yai dehato yateka divas nirmandha achila bhunjila se iras. So he says, the child says, as long as I was destined to stay in this body, I enjoyed in this body. You know? Then he says, Nirbandha ghuchi layar rahite na pari. Now that Nirbandha means the destined time for which they will be together. Right? So the bond, you know, there is a bond between bond of affection, but that bond is actually time bound. Nirbandha. So this time bound bond which the living entity forms, he says, Nirbandha ghuchi lar rahite na pari. The destined time is over now. I cannot stay in this body. Ebe chali lana ar nirbandha. Ebe chali lana ar nirbandhita puri. Now I am going to another city. Nirbandhita puri. This body is described as nirbandhita puri. A city in which one is allocated a particular time. You know, you take a ticket, 3 hours movie, you know, 3 hours you are allowed. After that, everyone is supposed to exit. He said, no, but you know, I can't leave, you know, my hero has just died. He said, get out, in nonsense, you know. 3 hours Nirbandhita Puri, you can't be sitting there and you said, I want to observe Shok Sabha now, you know, whatever. Or the celebration has just begun, whatever. He said, no, come on, out. So he's saying, I am going to another destined place, the child said. Right? And very beautifully, the child says, Ke kahar bap prabhu ke karanandan sabe apanar karma kareye bunjan. The child says, Ke kahar bap, my lord, who is one's father, who is one's son? Everyone is simply receiving the results of one's karma. Right? Just repeat this verse behind me. Ke kahar bap prabhu ke karanandan sabe apanar karma kareye bhunjan. Right? So, this is a fact, you know. The child speaks. Ke kahar bap prabhu. Kaun kiska bap, kaun kiska beta. You know, it's a very, very beautiful, you know, put into very beautiful. Sabhi apanara karma kare bunjan. Said, wait, all living entities, they are reaping the result of their own destiny. So they come together, they go away, right? Like that. Then he continues. सपार्षदे तुमार चरणे नमस्कार अपराध न लहिया विदाई अमार. He said, my lord, I offer obeisances to you and to all your associates. Aparadha na lahiya vidai amar. Please do not take any offense, for I am going away now. Right? Then it is described, Mrita putra mukheshuni apurva kathan ananda sagare bhashe sarva bhakta gan. So when they heard this words of from the mouth of Shivas Thakur, all the devotees were in, then floating in the waves of happiness. Right? Putra shoka dukha gela Shivasa goshthir Krishna premananda sukhe haila asthir. He said, that was the effect on the devotees. What is his family members? Putra shoka dukha gela Shivasa goshthir. That is also same thing is mentioned here. Vismita mumucha shokam chitvatma sneha shrinkhalam. All their shok was gone. All the lamentation was gone. Right? So therefore, hearing this, all the family members of Shivas Thakur, all their lamentation and putra shok duk, all the lamentation and unhappiness was gone far away. And they became overwhelmed with love for Krishna. Right? Then Shivas Thakur and family members, they caught hold of the Lord's feet and they prayed. They're a nice prayer actually. Janma janma tumi pita mata putra prabhu tomar charana yena napasira kabu. They said, my lord, please give this one blessing. You can repeat behind me. Janma janma tumi pita mata putra prabhu tumi pita mata putra prabhu tomar charana yena napasira kabu. So my lord, you are our father, you are our mother, you are the son, you are our master. And please bless that we never forget your lotus feet. Again, pasari means to forget. Right? So he described that as Shivas Thakur and family members are praying to the Lord, all the devotees began loudly crying the holy names. Krishna premecha turdige uthila krandan. Krishna prema maya haila Shrivasa bhavan. So, Krishna preme chaturdige uthilak. Everyone was loudly crying the names of the Lord. Right? So, from shoka maya bhavan, it became Krishna prema maya bhavan. You know, by the Lord arranged in such a way that the house which was inundated or was drowning in the ocean of lamentation, now it drowned in the ocean of Krishna Prem. Right? Ocean remained, but from shok and moho it became the ocean of Prem, the love for the Lord. Right? Krishna Prem Mai Haila Shivasa Bhavan. And then Lord said something very beautiful. Prabhu bole shuna, shuna Shivasa Pandit. The Lord said, please hear Shivas Pandit. Tumita sakal jana samsare rarit. You know everything about this samsara. Eh? And Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami also glorifies Shivas Thakur by saying, here is such an exalted person in whose lamentation did not arise even at the death of his own son. You know, he did not lament it. So the Lord is saying, oh my dear Shivas, listen, you know the ways of this material world, samsarira reet, as what we just discussed, what the child spoke, the child of Chitraketu Maharaj and the child of Shivas Thakur, they both spoke the same philosophy. Right? So Lord says, this is samsarira reet. This is the ways of the world, you know, how living entities come together, everyone is reaping the result of one's karma and they form the relationship and then they lament or then they rejoice like that. This is samsarira reet, the Lord says. Right? But he says, you know all of this and you are above all of this. Therefore, আমি নিত্যানন্দ দুই নন্দন তোমার, চিত্তে তুমি ব্যথা কিছু না ভাবি আর। তো লর্ড সেস ইউ হ্যাভ এনিওয়ে ইউ হ্যাভ নো ল্যামেন্টেশন, বাট লেট দেয়ার বি অ্যাবসোলিউটলি নো ট্রেস অফ এনি ল্যামেন্টেশন, ফর আই অ্যান্ড নিত্যানন্দ আর ইয়ার টু সন্স, ইউ নো। সো দোজ হু আর অ্যাকচুয়ালি সিচুয়েটেড অবভ অল মেটেরিয়াল গ্রিফ অ্যান্ড ল্যামেন্টেশন, then at a spiritual platform they actually they're not missing the relationship, right? So therefore the Lord says that we too are your sons. And then Navandas Thakur says, e sab nigudu katha ye kare shravan, anyone who hears this very confidential knowledge spoken by the son of Shivas Thakur and the dead son of Chitraketu Maharaj, সব নিগুড় কথা ইয়ে করে শ্রবণ, অবশ্য আমি লিবে তারে কৃষ্ণ প্রেম ধন, রাইট? দ্যাট পার্সন উইল শিওরলি অবটেন দ্য ওয়েলথ অফ লভ ফর কৃষ্ণ। এন্ড ফাইনালি হি অফার ওবেসেন্সেস অন টু শিবাস ঠাকুর বাই সিং, শিবাসের চরণে রহুক নমস্কার, আই অফার ওবেসেন্সেস এট দ্য লোটাস ফিট অফ শিবাস ঠাকুর, গৌরচন্দ্র নিত্যানন্দ নন্দন ইহার। He lost one son, but now he has two sons. The two lords became his sons. I offer my obeisances to him. Right? Gaurachandra Nityananda Nandana Yahar. Right? So it's a very beautiful, instructive that we eventually we have to become free from all these material attachment aversions. Right? By becoming attached to, in every circumstances, by making a determination to serve the Supreme Lord. Right? If you go on that way, then one day we will surely obtain this, we'll surely obtain or will surely revive our eternal relationship with the Lord. Right? And which is a true, which is actual reality. Right? Which is not like the relationship of the 100 rupee note with its owner. You know, the true factual relationship. So it's that's very beautifully described. Both are very similar if you see. Right? Okay. Go to text 13. নিহৃত্যাজ্ঞাতয়োগ্যাতের নেহম কৃত্বোচিতা ক্রিয়ঃ তত্যজুর্দুস্থিজম স্নেহম শোকমোহভয়ার্দিতম।
After the relatives had discharged their duties by performing the proper funeral ceremonies and burning the dead child's body, they gave up the affection that leads to illusion, lamentation, fear and pain. Such affection is undoubtedly difficult to give up, but they gave it up very easily.
Okay, so tatyajur dustajam sneham, right? They gave up all this sneha very easily, although it's very difficult to give up. Actually, they could give up this sneha only because they were fortunate to receive the association of the pure devotee. And that's the main reason, actually. Right? So one by Narad Muni and Angira Muni, they are both pure devotees of the Lord. So it's their great fortune that they obtained their association. Otherwise, it's not easy to give up this, you know, this sneha, right? So therefore, as we discussed in the beginning also, this is something very rarely obtained. This is something very rarely obtained. So one should know that actually, right? Because once there is an incident how there was one disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was staying in the matha, and because of some reason, you know, he was he had some quarrel with somebody or in their matha, in the monastery, and he left house, you know. And said Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he was actually crying tears, saying that how, you know, it is so rare that a living entity gets a chance to come to Krishna and serve him, you know. And having gotten that chance, he again missed the opportunity. Right? Having gotten that chance, he again missed the opportunity. So therefore, you know, the opportunity to associate and hear from the devotees of the Lord, right? Those who are dedicated to him fully, the pure souls, is actually a very rare opportunity. Right? And only in that association can anyone become fortunate to give up all the material bondage, you know. Shok, moha, bhaya, all these things. Tatya jur, to give up all this material affinity, this is actually is a great task. You know, it is a great task. Right? But it is possible in when one continues, right, following the instruction of the pure devotees, continues the fight and not give it up. Right? All other affections, etc., are obtained. It is a fact, you know, in this, many a times a person may leave the association of devotees not feeling sufficient affection. It happens many a times. Right? But the point is, you know, this affection, what you are looking for, even the animals are getting to some extent. That pure affection doesn't exist in this world, but even in so many species of life, we have been getting material affection from parents, from relatives, from friends. Right? Is it not? But here is the opportunity to actually develop affection for the Supreme Lord. You know, actually, to truly revive one's relationship with the Supreme Lord and to truly experience the spiritual rasa. Right? So something which we came for, you know, that we have come to a spiritual life to actually become free from, you know, all the material rasas. But for that very same reason, we leave the association of devotees sometimes. What we have come to become free from, you know, right, what we have come to transcend, for that very reason we may actually leave the association of devotees. So it's not a very intelligent decision. It's not a very intelligent decision actually. Because no one can actually satisfy us with the material affection and all that. That is the cause which keeps us binding this world. Right? That is the cause which keeps us binding in this world. So as we had discussed that how, yes, we encourage devotees loving affection amongst each other, one should help each other, one should take care of each other. All this, and therefore there are many varnashram duties designed so that a living entity has a stable social life, he can practice spiritually, etc., you know. But what is the purpose of all that? To transcend it. We forget the purpose actually. We get so much caught up that no one is caring for me, no one is showing affection to me, and this and that. We become so much caught up not knowing that purpose is to actually transcend it. You know? And experience that relation on a spiritual platform. Actually. Experience that relation on a spiritual platform. Right? So it's like that. So therefore, one should know this fact, you know, that the opportunity to transcend this, we have gotten it. You know? And what we are looking for the result, you know, what we want to transcend a problem, And for that very same reason, we actually land up in the problem in that sense. You know, spiritual life, we have to transcend all material so-called happiness, distress, affection, you know, rag, dvesh, etc., all of it. But for the very same reason, we actually leave. You know, it's quite ironical. It's quite ironical. Right? So therefore, one has to know that one has to... Then there's the nature of this world that our material necessities will... This material world is not meant to fulfill the needs of this material body and the mind and intelligence. You know, this material world is not designed for that. Are you getting the point? So this material world is not designed that you can, you know, you will feel, oh, I am very much protected. You will feel I am being loved. You feel I am being very affectionate. No, it is not designed for that. So it will not happen. Therefore, one has to know that it is not happening, that then one should be forced to leave that shelter and accept the shelter of the Supreme Lord. Right? So that's the very purpose actually. That's the very purpose actually. So like that, right? So one should know for sure, one should be ready that in this world, my needs of my body and the mind will not be fulfilled. And then how do I do that? How do I take it up? By going close to Krishna. And not actually, again going back to the problem. which will not solve it actually. Not going to any other material situation thinking that that will solve. So this is a fact actually. So one should know this truth actually. You know, it is very clear in the scriptures. Very clear in the scriptures. Yes. Where? Yeah, usually that is there, but so wait a minute. So basically, this is the generalized Prabhupada wrote in general, but you see, Vishnu Thakur says just a proper funeral ceremony. Deham kritvo uchita kriya. You see the Sanskrit word, it's as appropriate. And generally, for the Hindus, appropriate is to burn the body. But for the child, actually, the children are, children's body is buried, actually. Yeah. In Ujjain, this Kumbhela, the land which is allocated to us now, was the Shamshan for the children. Yeah, it was the Shamshan Bhumi for the children. You know. So now that land has been allocated. It is a big land. Many other people have been allocated, but it was a big land. Now they are going to Kumbh Mela, part of the being used for Kumbh Mela, and we have that property. So we were discussing that we need to have some more intense Harinam, you know. Other people may be haunted over here, you know, sometimes. Right. So like that. Okay, we go to text 14. Malagnyo vriditastatra Malhatyahata prabha Malhatyavratam cherur Brahmanaryan nirupitam Yamunayam Maharaja Smarantyo Dijabhashitam.
Queen Kritadeti's co-wives, who had poisoned the child, were very much ashamed, and they lost all their bodily luster while lamenting. O king, they remembered the instruction of Angira and gave up their ambition to bear children. Following their directions, of the Brahmanas, they went to the bank of the Yamuna, where they bathed and atoned for their sinful activities.
Okay, so Balaghneu, the killer of the child, right? Balhatya Hataprabha, by killing the child, they had lost all their bodily lustre. Right? So there is a subtle energy which is visible in a person, you know. There is a, everyone has a subtle aura, subtle energies around him. You know, when a person commits some sinful activity, then many people can easily perceive that subtle aura is lost, right? Subtle aura is lost. So therefore, hata prabha, their face reflected immediately that they have committed a sinful act. Hata prabha. So all their Prabhupada comments on this word, having lost the bodily lustre. The word bal hatya hata prabha is to be particularly noted. Right? And then Prabhupada relates it to how so many people are actually killing children within the womb. Right? Mal hatya hata prabha. So Prabhupada says, if a woman particular performs such an abominable act, she gradually loses all her bodily lustre. Bal hatya hata prabha. This is a subtle lustre in the body, you know, which can be perceived by those who can see a person's subtle energies around a person. Right? It is a fact actually. Each person carries subtle energies around him. You know, once Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying, he said, oh, this person has very relaxing energies around him. And he said, other person, he is carrying very tense energy. You know, Maharaj, he was just saying, you know, this person carries very tense energies around him. You know, in fact, you know, because of one's activities and all that, so each person has a different energy around him. Like some person has, just different, you know. Subtle aura is there, right? Energy. So then when a person commits such an activity, then he has depressing energies around him. Anyone who comes in touch with a very sinful person, he feels a depressing energy. You know, the hata prabha. So there is a enlivening energy, you know. Some people whom you come near to them, you feel enlivened, you know. Prabhupada had such a enlivening energy around him. Anyone who would be in his vicinity, he would, feel the, you know, oh, I should hear from him the need to be enlivened. Right? But there are others, sinful people, you feel a depressing energy around, you know. So these energies, you know, those who are subtly tuned to, in, you know, more tuned to subtle energies, they can detect what kind of energy pervades in a particular place, around a person, etc. You know. Therefore, Maharaj once described actually, this is among two people he was comparing. I'm not giving an exact context, but he described, he said, this person has very relaxing energies. You know, you feel, go to near to him, you feel relaxed. Brother one has very tense energies, you know. As you go near to him, you see, kya chal raha hai, udhar kya chal raha hai, idhar kya ho raha hai, you know. There's a tense energies. So like that. So, these queens, they lost all positive energies and hata prabha, and they were all negative energies, embarrassing or depressing energies prevailed around the queens at that point of time. So they had to atone. Right? So Prabhupada said that therefore it was must for them to atone. In the last four or five lines, Prabhupada said in the purport, those who are sincere souls after hearing this incident should refrain from such child killing and should atone for their sinful activities by taking to Krishna consciousness very seriously. If one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without offences, all of one's sinful reactions are surely atoned for immediately. But one should not commit such deeds again, for that is an offence. Okay, so take a break and we will continue. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Saranga Nityananda. So we have refreshments also during the break. Okay, keep. I'll take one at the end of the class. You can keep it. Okay, so verse 15. Saitham prati buddhatma yatra ketu dvijokti bhi grihanda kupa nishkranta Sara Panka Divadvipa.
Thus enlightened by the instruction of Brahmana, Angira and Narada, King Chitraketu became fully aware of spiritual knowledge. As an elephant becomes free from muddy reservoir of water, King Chitraketu came out of the dark well of family life.
Okay, so being enlivened, he came out of Graha Andh Kupan Nishkranta. He came out of the dark well of family life. Right? So, although it appears very attractive in this world, you know, it's the description is dark, muddy, you know, all this well of family life. It is from a description given from the viewpoint of those who have actually attained perfection. You know, then they can see the relativity of. They can see that that was a very miserable situation, you know. But those who are within it, they find it to be very attractive, very difficult to give it up, right? So like that. Kalindyam vidivatsnatva krita punya jala kriyaha Onena samyata prano
Brahmaputravandata.
The king bathed in the water of the Yamuna, and according to prescribed duties, he offered oblations of water to the forefathers and demigods. Very gravely controlling his senses and mind, he then offered his respects and obeisances to the sons of Lord Brahma, Angira and Narada.
Okay, so this way the king became steady and he offered obeisances and respects to the two great sages. So one just thing comes to my mind. Mukund Mahaprabhu asked me there were number of lessons, but one is coming to my mind from Krita Dyuti's lamentation from the last chapter. One good lesson was that how, you know, Krita Dyuti calls the creator to be immature, you know, that person who has created these bonds of affection only to be broken is immature, right? So one nice lesson which is pointed out by Chaitanya Charan Prabhu in that context is, he said actually every living entity takes the role of a controller in this world. You know, every living entity has taken the role of a controller when it tries to control all the circumstances, etc. But when the reverses happen, that reverses are meant for him to learn the lesson that I am not the controller. So that means that role, he should understand that is not his, he is not supposed to play that role actually. That is, only the Supreme Lord is only controller, right? And he should give up the role of controller. But actually conditioned soul, instead of giving up the role of controller, he takes up another role, which is the role of advisor. You know, so that's the conditioned soul, you know. He's anyway taken the false role of being a controller. When the verses happen, he takes another role of being advisor of the Supreme Lord. He said, he should have asked me before creating, you know, how to create properly. He made many mistakes, you know. So like that. So that's the nature of the conditioned soul, right? But on a material platform, there are so many, you know, there can never be reconciliation on a material platform. People will keep debating. On a material platform, there is a saying that only fools come to conclusion while learned men debate. So those who are learned on a material platform, what is their symptom? That they will keep debating, keep discussing. The debate should never end because knowledge should be further and further refined. You know? So if someone says, okay, so the conclusion of the debate is that he is a fool. Debate is never ending in the material world. You know? They keep philosophizing. So on a material platform, there can be no actually good conclusion. It's like, keep on debating, you know. Keep on perpetually debating. There is no conclusion on the material platform, right? But actually, one has to rise above all of this and come to the conclusion that actually I am not the controller. Supreme Lord is the only controller. So when one comes to the conclusion finally at Bhukta Ram Yajna Tapsam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, that I am not the enjoyer, Supreme Lord is the enjoyer. I am not the Ishvara controller, Supreme Lord is the controller. He alone is the true well-wisher of all living entities. Then a living entity can actually come to a platform where he can experience peace. Okay? Otherwise, everyone in this world, due to one reason or another, right? So the life of Chitraketu Maharaj is actually the life of all living entities in one sense. Because something is always missing in this world in everyone's life. And what is missing takes the most prominent position. that this is most vital for me, you know, that we have discussed. Whatever is missing is the most vital for that person. So therefore, that is the situation of every living entity, that in this material platform, there actually cannot be satisfaction and peace at all. So therefore, Angira Rishi actually gave him that son only to shatter his hopes for material enjoyment. You know, he's not supposed to. Angira Rishi understood that only when he gets thoroughly frustrated will he actually accept, you know, the good instructions. So therefore, his good fortune arose by association with Angira Muni. That episode of giving him a son and then taking that back, was actually necessary, you know, for him to learn this lesson and come to this platform. That was necessary for him. Right? So it is like that. So in this world, actually the good fortune arises by the association with devotees. Right? So in association with devotees, we understand he got intense pain. Another thing is, therefore, when we come in the association of devotees, we can expect our life to take some intense turns. You know, because otherwise we don't become serious in understanding this science, and you know, therefore it is the experience of many devotees that after they come in touch with Krishna consciousness, you know, there are many reverses which start happening, right? Because we have to learn, we otherwise we don't take Krishna consciousness seriously. So Krishna takes every devotee through principally the same circumstance as Chitraketu Maharaj. Principally, through pain, agony, you know, by which the hopes for his material enjoyment are shattered, and then the instruction of Krishna consciousness can then actually take hold in one's life. Right? Yes, Prabhu. Sorry? Oh yes, so desiring misery is actually desiring good fortune. In that sense, you know, Angira Muni purposefully gave that misery because that is like a bitter medicine. He knows that this misery will bring good health to him. Right? So the great sages or the Lord by various arrangements he sent this miserable circumstance, or they had the power to directly intervene and send it. Right? But it comes to the devotees by the Lord's arrangement in different ways. Right? So yeah, so we right. So therefore, we don't say that this person become miserable in the sense. We only desire that Lord, please, if we want someone, we only pray that he may become nicely Krishna conscious. Now rest is up to the Lord, you know, how he does it. You know, so therefore, a deeper understanding par dukhi, when we see a person going in a car with loud Western music being played. So sometimes you go on the road and people are enjoying on the car and a very sophisticated car with a loud music playing Actually, true meaning is para dukha dukhi. One should become unhappy seeing his dukkha. You know, but when we have superficial understanding, we become ourselves dukhi, you know. Seeing, we think he is happy and I am unhappy, you know. But actually, seeing even the so-called people enjoying material in this material world, that enjoyment is actually there, is going to be, is this actually suffering? It's actually suffering. Right? So therefore, one should know that what is the meaning of actually what is the true enjoyment. Otherwise, all material circumstances, whether good or bad, are actually the cause of dukkha only. You know, it just brings misery only. Right? So like that. So therefore, true sukha is actually not material happiness. It doesn't desire a devotee doesn't desire that a person become materially happy in that sense, alone, stand alone, you know. He doesn't want him to suffer miserably, but he, devotee, don't only want that he become Krishna conscious. Right? But great sages like them, they know that only undergoing certain pain will actually open his eyes. So they give him. Right? So they give him. This is a bitter treatment. They know what ultimately will bring him to the true happiness. Right? So it is, their goal is also to give him true spiritual happiness. So in order to do that, so this is necessary in most of the cases. Right? A question is raised actually sometimes. Is bhakt log ko serious banne ke liye dukh sahna hi padega kya? Is there any other way? Actually, if you see the life of any devotee, you will not find a single example where someone has not suffered. You know? So in this world is dukhalayam, everyone has to undergo suffering. Right? But for devotees, actually, material suffering becomes the platform where they go towards Krishna. Because this is the nature of this world, is to suffer. So everyone has to take the suffering. Right? The misery comes anyway. Right? So, but even the pure devotees, sometimes they undergo many agonizing situations. But that suffering is not the suffering of... See, the suffering of the conditioned soul, the sadhaka, and the pure devotees, all are different. Although they look the same, the nature is different. These three sufferings. The suffering of living entities in general, I think we already discussed that, is it? You have discussed that, no? General people suffering is the suffering which lacks mercy. It is the suffering of the material nature which has very minimal mercy. You know, that Supreme Lord's laws of nature which punishes the conditioned soul has some mercy element. It's for the reformation. This is like the police giving beating to a criminal. The system is made by the government for what? To show mercy. But it's a very little mercy, you know. It's almost a merciless situation. Police beating a criminal for his reformation. There's very little element of mercy. The sadhaka undergoing suffering is like a mother beating a child. The mercy element is very prominent. You know, it is given in, to that much extent, in that way, along with some affection and care, so that a person very easily reforms. Right? While the suffering given to pure devotees is actually a platform where their ecstasy is enhanced. It's a different level altogether. That suffering is not nothing to do with these two sufferings. That suffering of the pure devotee is another form of ecstasy itself. Right? It's another form of ecstasy itself, where the pain of the separation gives rise to intense ecstasies, actually. Right? So like that. So, vipada santuta shashvat. Right? So actually she is asking a situation where there will be always the ecstasy of remembering Krishna. So there is no, Kunti Maharani saying, let there always be ecstasy of remembering you. Let there be always ecstasy of your close intimate association. You know, let that situation be there, you know. She's not asking, she's asking that is the actual, what is she is praying for? Vipadasantu ta shashvat. Bapari bapari, misery is mangliya. Ye kya bol diya, you know. But actually she is very intelligent. Right? She says that actually in the remembrance of the Lord, in His association, there is always a great ecstasy. She is asking for that actually. Right? So therefore, that misery of the pure devotees, the Pandavas and all that, is nothing to do with the misery of the conditioned soul and even the sadhakas. Right? So they all three are a different level altogether. Okay, if we go to, so now Chitraketu Maharaj will come to the platform of pure devotional service, where he will truly, you know, have a experience of intense happiness, which is unmixed with any kind of material misery. अथ तस्मै प्रपन्नाय भक्ताय परयात्मने भगवान् नारदाप्रीतो विद्यामेतामुवाचः.
Thereafter, being very much pleased with Chitragato, who was a self-controlled devotee and a surrendered soul, Narada, the most powerful sage, spoke to him the following transcendental instructions.
Okay, so Narada Muni, he gave these following instructions. Om Namastubhyam Bhagavate Vasudevaya Dhimahe Pradyumnaya Niruddhaya Namasankarshanaya cha Namo Vijnana Matraya Paramananda Murtaye Atmaramaya Shantaya Nivritta Dvaita Drishtaye.
Narada gave Chitraketu the following mantra. O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, who are addressed by the Omkar Pranam, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. O Lord Vasudev, I meditate upon you. O Lord Pradyumna, Lord Aniruddha, and Lord Sankarsana, I offer you my respectful obeisance. O Reservoir of Supreme Potency, O Supreme Bliss, offer my respectful obeisance unto you, who are self-sufficient and most peaceful. O Ultimate Truth, one without a second, you are realized as a Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, and are therefore the reservoir of all knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisance unto you.
Okay, so Narada Muni gave him this mantra to worship the Chaturvyuha form of the Lord. Right? Om Namo Tubhyam Bhagavate Vasudevaya Dhimahi Pradumnaya Nuddhaya Nama Sankarshanaya Cha. Right? She's offering obeisances to Vasudev, Pradumna Niruddhaya, and Lord Sankarshan. And Prabhupada describes how that Prabhupada describes in the purport that Vasudev, who is the expansion of Narayan, expand himself as Pradyumna, Aniruddha and Sankarshan. From Sankarshan comes the second Narayan expansion, and from this Narayan come further expansion of, so there is a first Chaturvyuha, there is a second Chaturvyuha, like that. Right? So Prabhupada describes that, how the Lord expands into various forms in the Parapat. And then it is explained in the second Namo Vijnana Matraya. Right? The text 18 offers the business to Chaturvyuha, and then Namo Vijnana Matraya. So, Vijnana Matraya refers to the Lord who is endowed or covered with pure Chit Shakti. Right? So, Prabhupada explains this quite elaborately. You will see the third paragraph. The word Matra is explained in Medini Dictionary as follows. Matra Kand Vibhushayam Vitte Mane Parichade. The word Matra in its different import is used to indicate the decoration of the ear, possession, respect and possession of a covering. Right? So in this way the living entity is covered. Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya, Prabhupada quotes. Right? So the living entity has accepted various covering in this world. But what is the covering of the Supreme Lord? For the living entity is covered by this body, the various senses, the mind, intelligence, right? But for the Supreme Lord, what is his covering? Vijnan Matraya, the pure Chit Shakti. Is not different from himself, actually. Namo Vijnan Matraya. The living entity is covered with ignorance, while the Supreme Lord is actually having the covering, if we have to call it a covering, which is non-different from him, but it is pure Chit Shakti. Right? Therefore, Namo Vijnana Matraya. So, Prabhupada gives the comparison between the living entity and the Supreme Lord, briefly. In the same, if you see, after Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya, 5 or 6 line, if you leave, in the conditioned state of life, the body is used as our dress. And one needs different dresses during the summer and winter. We conditioned souls are changing bodies according to our desires. However, because the body of the Supreme Lord is full of knowledge, it needs no covering. And the Nivritta Dvaita Drishtaye, the last line of text 19, Nivritta Dvaita Drishtaye. Vishwanath Thakur says, Nivritta means not, Dvaita means material world, and Drishtaye means attached. So the Lord is not attached to the material world, whereas the Jiva is attached to the material world. Right? So basically, this verse describes how the Lord is a form of knowledge while Jiva is actually covered with ignorance. Right? The Lord enjoys his own bliss while the Jiva tries to enjoy the bliss of the material sense objects, right? Which is actually misery. The Lord is not attached to the material world where the Jiva is attached to the material world. Like that. For text 20. Atmanandanubhuteva Nyasta Shaktiur Maye Namaha Rishikeshaya Mahate Namaste Nantamurtaye.
Receiving your personal bliss, you are always transcendental to the waves of material nature. Therefore, my Lord, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. You are the supreme controller of the senses, and your explanation of from the form of unlimited. You are the greatest, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisance unto you.
Okay, so Atma Ananda Anubhuteva. Right? The Lord is always experiencing transcendental bliss. Right? And he possesses various Nista Shakti Urmaye Namaha. Rishikeshaya, one with the control of the senses, Mahate. Namaste Anantamurtaye, O Unlimited Supreme Lord. So basically again, this qualities of the Lord has been explained by taking the reference of the living entity. Right? So one knows that how one can understand from this, from one's own experience, right, that how a living entity has many troubles. Right? But the Supreme Lord is Anandamurti. Right? So he is he enjoys only happiness, right? And the living entity is actually controlled by the senses, but the Lord is, one can experience all these things, you know. Therefore, these qualities of the Lord can be understood to be just opposite of what one experiences in this material world, right? Living entity is controlled by the senses. Whatever senses demand, the living entity fulfill. But the Lord is the master of the senses, right? So the living entity is always perturbed, but the Supreme Lord is always peaceful. Living entity is always miserable, Supreme Lord is always happy. Right? So in this way, one can understand that the Supreme Lord, that in this material world, the living entity is reflecting just the opposite nature of the Supreme Lord. Because of ignorance, everything has become topsy-turvy. Right? It's a perverted reflection. So there is a beautiful verse which says, Haladinya samvidashlishta sachidananda vigraha. The Lord possesses energies like Haladini Shakti or the Chit Shakti. His energies are Haladinya and Samvid, Ashlishta, Sachidananda Vigraha. He says, and what about the living entity? The first two verse of this line, this is by Sridhar Swami. He quotes this verse and is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita in one of the teachings to Rupa Goswami. So vidya samvrito jiva sanklesh nikarakara. The Supreme Lord is Sachidananda Vigraha, while the jiva is so vidya samvrito jiva. Supreme Lord has all these potentials of full knowledge, full bliss, while living entity is covered with ignorance. So avidya samvrito jiva. And Supreme Lord is Sachidananda Vigraha, while the living entity is sankleesh nikarakara. He said the living entity is like a mine, a treasure house of all kind of tribulations. Living entity is a treasure house or a mine of tribulations. Means, living entity means always tribulation, always some problem, always some misery going on. Right? Just like the coal mine is there. What is there in the coal mine? Everything black, you know, only coal, wherever you not find anything else. So living entity's situation is like the coal mine of problems. Wherever you dig, whatever you do, simply problem. For the Supreme Lord, every activity is simply bliss. Living entity, whatever it does, only invites problem. You know, sankleshan nikarakara. A storehouse or a mine. Right? So the scripture describes this situation in a very, very crystal clear words. Right?
Machasse ubarate prapya ya eko manasa saha anamarupas chinmatra sovayanna sadhatpara.
The words and mind of the conditioned soul cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for material names and forms are not applicable to the Lord, who is the entirely spiritual beyond the conception of gross and subtle forms. The impersonal Brahman is another of his forms. May he, by his pleasure, protect us.
Okay, so Narada Muni is describing this feature of the Lord, and here the Lord's impersonal aspect is described. Anamarupas chin matra so vyana sadasatpara. So the impersonal Brahman is being described. He has no one can describe him. Right? And he has no form, no names, etc. 22nd. Yasmin idam yatascedam tishtate apayeti jayate mrinmayeshu eva mrijaschatis tasmete brahmane namaha.
Birds are made completely of earth, are situated on earth after being created, and are transformed into earth again when broken. This cosmic manifestation is caused by the Supreme Brahman, situated in the Supreme Brahman, and annihilated in the same Supreme Brahman. Therefore, since the Supreme Lord is the cause of Brahman, let us offer me him our respectful obeisance.
Right, so how Brahman is the cause of everything. How do you define Brahman as? What is your understanding of the Brahman? What is your understanding of Brahman, sir, in general? Sorry? Bodily effulgence of the Supreme Lord. Okay. 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 Brahman, what do you understand from Brahman? Brahman saying cluster of all jivas as Brahman. Okay. Yes. Sarva khalu vidhim Brahman. Yeah, basically you can simply, whenever the word Brahman comes, many things, just like he's saying over here, that this cosmic manifestation is caused by Brahman. It resides in Brahman. And when it is destroyed, the whole manifestation, it is remains within Brahman. Right? So one should understand the Brahman to be the spiritual potency of the Lord. Right? The impersonal fulgence is also the spiritual potency of the Lord. The jiva is also the spiritual potency of the Lord, right? So, basically, that spiritual potency is ultimately moving the material elements, the material creation. The material creation has only come forth because of Brahman. Therefore, sarva khalu idam Brahman, you know. Or just an analogy to understand, you know, there may be so many equipments which are moving. You know, moving equipment, you see, the washing machine is turning, some parts are moving, some sound is coming, this and that, you know. So the energy which moves them all, you know, the AC is producing the cold air. So the energy which moves them all, you know, the electric energy which moves it all, you know, that is being supplied by the Supreme Lord. He is the source of that energy, his potency, the potency of the Lord. Right? So it's the spiritual potency of the Lord which is moving this entire creation. So basically, to understand when the Brahman is being talked, so it could refer to various potencies of the Lord. Living entity is also called Brahman. Supreme Lord is also addressed as Brahman. But to distinguish, we add the word Para-Brahman. Right? He is the Supreme Brahman. Living entity is also Brahman. So the Brahman term is used for in various ways in that way. Okay? So, therefore, that potency itself, which comes from the Lord, is actually moving everything in this world. It is the cause of everything, right? It moves everything, and when everything rests, it rests in Him only, like that. Guru text 23.
Yanna sprishanti na vidur. Mano buddhindriya sava antar bahischavitatam vyomavattannatosmeham.
The Supreme Brahman emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and expands like the sky. Although untouched by anything material, it exists within and without. Nonetheless, the mind, intelligence, senses and living force can neither touch Him nor now know Him. I offer unto Him my respectful obeisance.
Okay, so Yanna sprashanti na vidur mano buddhindriya asava. So this Brahman primarily also, when we talk of the Brahman, we should understand that primarily we talk of the such feature. We talk of the such feature in Brahman. And when we talk of the Paramatma feature, then Chit feature is added. And Bhagavan realization is complete when we understand that there is a Satchit and Ananda Vigraha, that is Bhagavan. Right? I'm saying the primarily word is used over herein. So those who have Brahman realization, they have mainly the realization of the eternal truth. From everything is coming, that eternal source, right? Which doesn't undergo transformation. From whom everything has come, within whom everything rests, like that. Right? And he is that, it's a spiritual substance and who is beyond the power of the mind and the senses, right? Like that. Text 24.
Dendriya prana mano diyomi yadam shavidha pracharanti karmasu ne vanyada lohamiva prataptam stane shutad drishtrapade shameti tadrishtapade shameti.
As iron is the power to burn when made red hot in the association of fire, so the body, senses, living force, mind and intelligence, although mere lumps of matter, can function in their activities when infused with a particle of consciousness by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As iron cannot burn unless heated by fire, the bodily senses cannot act unless favored by the Supreme Brahman.
Okay, so now although everything is Brahman, Supreme Lord is also referred to as Brahman, Living Entity is also referred to as Brahman, but this verse says one is a dependent Brahman, another is independent. Okay, so the consciousness of the small particle of Brahman is fully dependent on the power of the Supreme Brahman. One is like the generation of the power, other has some power. You know, like a battery. One is like a powerhouse, other is some battery. The battery's power is dependent upon the power to receive the power from the storehouse. You know, where the power is being generated in that sense. So therefore, although both are Brahman, one is completely dependent on the Supreme Brahman. Okay, so Prabhupada says, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord says, Matta smritir gyamanam apohanam cha. From me, the conditioned soul receives memory, knowledge and forgetfulness. The power for activities comes from the Supreme Lord. And when the Lord withdraws this power, the conditioned soul no longer has energy with which to act through his various senses. Right? So like a conditioned soul, you know, who can take away the power? Let the God come, you know. So there is, Krishna has invested some power in the living entity, and living entity thinks, it's my power, I can act. But when battery no longer receives the power, that power will soon extinguish. And then one will not have any power, you know. So we forget that our batteries have been charged for some time, and we think we have independent power. But as soon as we don't receive the supply, we lose all that power, and then we become totally helpless. Right? This is also another example is, you know, it's like you have seen the toys. Toys, you rotate the, you know, what you call chabi. So Krishna is like, he has rotated, given some energy by rotating the chabi to some extent. And then we're moving and we say, come on, you know. Look my power. I can dance the way I want. I can jump the way I want. Right? Said, wait in some time, you know. And you will fall, you will still. And then unless the Supreme Lord gives any power, you will be powerless. Right? So jitni chabi Ram ne bhari hai, utna hi khilona chalega. Right? So he says, you know, it has a meaning actually, right? It connects to this Bhagavatam verse. So Bhagavan ne jitna itna chabi bhar diya hai. Right? So I didn't phrase the exact line, but you all know, but anyway, it has a meaning, right? That it is a meaning. The Lord has alag alag chabi bhar hai sabke, you know. So this fact actually, right? So like that, but the Lord is the source of all energy, right? We are completely dependent upon Him. That's what Prabhupada says, last few lines. Unless empowered by His energy, our senses cannot act. In other words, He is the only seer, the only worker, the only listener, and the only active principle or supreme controller. Therefore, when you say that He only is doing everything, means He has given the energy to the living entity. Therefore, He is always the supreme cause. Yes. Yeah. Yes, in the sense we are able to perform whatever activities through any of the faculties, energy is given by the Supreme Lord, and the energy gradually diminishes. In that way, you know, the power of the mind, senses, everything, the physical power, the power of intelligence, all has been given by the Supreme Lord, who is the ultimate cause. Like that. Okay, text 25 is in prose form. Om namo bhagavate mahapurushaya mahanubhavaya mahavibhuti pataye sakal satvat pravriddha nakarakar kamal kudmalo palalita charanaravinda yugal parama paramesh Namaste.
O transcendental Lord, who are situated in the topmost planet of the spiritual world, who are two lotus feet are always massaged by a multitude of the best devotees with their lotus bird hands. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, complete in six opulences. You are the Supreme Person mentioned in the Purushukta prayers. You are the most perfect, self-realized, master of all mystic power. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Okay. So if you see, he describes that how the Lord is the source of our energy, right? Our existence is going on. The Lord is the original powerhouse. Not just that, the knowledge which we can get through the senses, that is also given by the Lord. So the energy is supplied by the Lord, the knowledge with which we can understand and perceive things is supplied by the Lord, and the rasa is also given by the Lord. Rasa is actually the taste. So this word describes, previously the energy and the knowledge has been described, the Lord is the source, that Brahman is the source of the Lord, right? And now he's saying he alone is the source of all rasas also. This word describes. Okay. So, Prabhupada says, the previous verses describe the Brahman and Paramatma feature of the Lord. Right? So again, we have to relate Brahman with the existence, Sat feature of the Lord. Paramatma is giving the knowledge. This word describes the Bhagavan feature, which is the Anand, which is the Rasa feature. Now this prayer is offered in Bhakti Yoga to the Absolute Supreme Person. The word used in this regard is Sakal Sattvat Parivriddha. The Sattvata means devotee and the Sakal means altogether. The devotees who have lotus feet serve the lotus feet of the Lord with their lotus hand. Okay, so Sakal Sattvat Parivriddha of the Lord who is served by all the devotees. Right? He is the best among all them. And who thus gives bliss to the devotees. Right? Who exchange mellows with the devotees in reciprocation to their service. That Lord is being described. Go to text 26. Shishuka uvacha. Maktaye tam prapannaya. Vidyamadishyanadrada. Tayavangi rasasakam. Dham swa. Swayam Bhuvam Prabho.
Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, Narada, having become the spiritual master of Chitraketu, instructed him full in this prayer because Chitraketu was full surrendered. O King Parikshit, Narada then left with the great sage Angira for the topmost planet known as Brahmaloka.
Read the first 7-8 lines, first paragraph.
When Angira and first come to visit King Chitraketu, he did not bring Narada with him. However, after the death of Chitraketu's son, Angira brought Narada to instruct King Chitraketu about Bhakti Yoga. The difference was that in the beginning, Chitraketu was not a temperament of renunciation. But after the death of his son, when he was overwhelmed by the great flight, he was awakened to the platform of the renunciation by the instruction. Regarding the falsity of this material world and material possessions, it is only at this stage that Bhakti Yoga can be instructed. As long as one is attached to material enjoyment, Bhakti Yoga cannot be understood.
Okay. So earlier Chitraketu Maharaj was in no temperament is described to listen to spiritual subject matter. Therefore he had to undergo that painful experience, you know, and then he becomes open to listening Narada Muni. Therefore Then Angira Muni brought Narada Muni, who has been described as the father of devotional service. Prabhupada says Narada Muni is like the father of devotional service. Right? And like many people have the father of the nation. Who is the father of India? Mahatma Gandhi. Who is the father of America? You have father of the nation? Huh? Washington is considered the father of, right? So like, so but actually, so father means one who actually, who has, with the topmost in that particular, you know, who founded it or took the. So Narada Muni is the father of devotional service, Prabhupada says, in the last 3-4 lines. And therefore, just to bestow causeless mercy upon King Chitraketu, Angira brought Narada Muni to instruct the king. Okay. And Prabhupada also says that how, you know, when one's hope for enjoyments are shattered, then one becomes open to listen. You know? And Prabhupada says, now in the Western world, people are frustrated with material enjoyment. So therefore, they're open to this message of Krishna consciousness. Right? Prabhupada says, the youth in the West, if you see the second paragraph, the youth in the West have reached the stage of vairagya or renunciation. You know? It's a opposite of bhog and tyag, you know, that keeps changing. But then that circumstance was favorable for them to actually to inject Krishna consciousness. You know. So we see that how in this material world there is a conditioned soul always oscillates between bhog and tyag. Or he sometimes shows vairagya, sometimes shows a great hankering to enjoy. Is it not? Right? So when there is a phase of vairagya, you know, at that time, one can take the advantage and inject Krishna consciousness. So basically, in everyone's life, you know, one sometimes experiences great attachment, hankering, other time detachment. Right? So bhog and tyag keeps oscillating every conditioned soul. Right? Just like we were once discussing how in the Western world, you know, they have been eating non-veg food, killing animals, you know, without any restriction, you know. And now there is a vegan movement, they don't want to take milk also, you know. There is a bhog and then there is a tyag. Again, this pendulum goes to bhog and this tyag. But as long as there is this pendulum on this side, favorable, you know, to inject the principle, devotees take advantage of that. Devotees take advantage of that. So this vegan movement is nothing but another feature of this duality of the world, bhog and tyag. It's a fact actually, you know. So they have this movement, so therefore advantage can be taken, you know. Therefore people can become devotees through that. So like that. So therefore, now the time the Chitraketu Maharaj, you know, is in that, he's experiencing such intense pain, and this is the right time to inject, you know, he can become renounced and Krishna conscious ultimately. Therefore, Angira Muni brought Narada Muni now to give him bhakti. Right? Like that. So actually, one should change one's perspective towards the miseries of this world. One should see that these miseries of the world are actually bringing me closer to Krishna, to my good health. You know, one should not feel depressed. Just see, the king, he had to undergo a tremendous amount of pain, the loss of the son. Right? But one should perceive every reverse in life as bringing me closer to Krishna. So this positive perspective, it is very important for the devotees to always see that somehow I have, because started the journey, therefore, you know, all the miseries are actually pushing me towards Krishna. You know. So the great souls, they encourage you to come towards Krishna, while the miseries push you from behind, both serving the same purpose. You know, the acharyas, they are inviting us, come and join, you know, Krishna's pastime, the eternal abode. That's your world, you know. They are inviting us. So in both way, and the miseries are pushing us toward the same end. Right? So both serve the same purpose. They both are taking you to a life of eternal bliss. So one should not feel dejected. One should learn to see them as a positive aspect. One should change one's perspective towards misery or even struggle. You know, there is a struggle in this world. There is a misery. The miseries are pushing us towards Krishna, and we have to struggle in this world to continue our journey. Right? So if anyone is having any struggle in Krishna consciousness, see it as that I am actually, that means I am executing the process properly, therefore I am having struggle. Yeah, if there is no struggle, that means my devotional service is going too slow. In fact, actually, the acharya, they describe us, you know. So if I am struggling, that means at least I am, for sure, I am executing the process nicely, you know. So there is a struggle. Like when there was opposition to Krishna consciousness, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, now in the beginning there is opposition to our movement, that means we are preaching very effectively. You know, so our preaching is actually effective now that people are opposing us. It's a good sign. It's a good sign, he would say. People are opposing our Krishna consciousness, means that our preaching is taking hold. You know, it's taking notice. Prabhupada also said so many times, you know, the same thing. Now that people are noticing, that means we are actually nicely growing. Therefore, they are opposing us. It's a good sign. You know, that means that we have to continue with that. So, basically, it's very important to always take a positive perspective in Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna is supremely positive. There is no negativity in Him. We are aspiring to become His servant. Therefore, every situation means every situation we have to see some positivity in it and then go on. Right? And actually that is very essential. That is very essential. To make advancement, one has to see the situation that is a positive situation. Every situation is a positive situation. Why? To see Krishna in every situation who is supremely positive. We have to see Krishna in every situation. Krishna is supremely positive. Right? So therefore we have to see some positivity in every situation that comes to us. Only when we see that, then we go on with our spiritual advancement. Right? So that is the process of going through this material world. Looking at Krishna and looking at every situation in a positive way, inspiring me to go ahead towards Krishna. Right? Remember that it's not easy actually. It's not easy to always have that perspective. It's very difficult. You know, it takes a lot of purification to have that. It's not simply mental adjustment actually. No one can just see positivity with an adjustment of mind. It's not possible. It takes a lot of purification to see Krishna, or to see, when we say be positive, we are actually saying look Krishna. Outside people, they just try to adjust their mind, and you know, and then the mind wavers from positive to negative. If you see all the help books, you know, self-confidence, this, that, they tell you with some mental adjustment of the mental frame, be positive, you know. Right? There are so many books, but actually they will not help because they are on a mental platform or intellectual platform. One will surely fall down to negativity because the mind oscillates. But the devotees, they do not take shelter of that book. Some techniques can be given, but devotee positivity comes from having Krishna as a positive, seeing Krishna who is supremely positive, you know. Therefore we see And actually the opportunity sent by Krishna for me to actually proceed towards him. Right? So that positive aspect will always help us to go on steadily in our journey. Right? And we have to take, there is no other way of advancement actually. There is no other way other than this. That is the art of living actually. To always have a positive attitude which is centered around Krishna. Which is centered around seeing Krishna's intervention in every situation. Right? Like that. So Chitraketu Maharaj is now proceeding in his journey towards the Lord. 27. Chitraketu stutam vidyam yatha narada bhashitam dharyamasa saptaham abhakshasu samahita.
Fasting and drinking only water, Chitraketu for 1 week continuously chanted with great care and attention the mantra given by Narad Muni.
Okay, so he performed tapasya also while executing this devotional service. Tata sa sapta ratrante vidyadharyamanaya vidyadharasadipatyam cha lebhe pratihatam nipa.
O King Parikshit, after only 1 week, after repeatedly practicing the mantra received from the spiritual master, Chitraketu achieved the rule of the planet of the Vidyadharas as an intermediate product of the product his spiritual advancement in knowledge.
Okay, so after a week, it's very fast actually, you know, because he underwent a very intense pain. You know, his purification and advancement is also going very intense. And he's on a kind of very fast track. You know, Dhruva Maharaj also very shortly, you know. After Dhruva Maharaj? No. Before 1 week, he received the intermediate result, which is he became the king of Vidyadharas. Right? So, like that. Tata kati payaho bhir vidyadha manogatihi jagam deva devasya sheshasya charanantikam.
Thereafter, within a very few days, by the influence of the mantra that Chitraketu had practiced, his mind became increasingly enlightened in spiritual progress, and he attained shelter at the lotus feet of Ananta Deva.
Okay, so even Patanjali says the general principle of yoga is one's advancement in yoga practice depends upon the intensity and the duration of the practice. He says, Patanjali, that one makes advancement in yoga depending upon the amount of time one spends in practice and the intensity with which one practices. Okay. So we see that here there is a great intensity. He just fasted and drank only water and completely absorbed himself in the process given by Narad Muni. And therefore, after within a short time, he attained the shelter of Lord Shesha, Anantadev. Anant, Lord Anant is also referred by the name Shesh. We call it Anant Shesh. Right, and Sankarshan is considered one of the expansion of Sankarshan. You know, Anantadeva is considered one of the expansion of Anantashesh, we call. Considered one of the expansion of Lord Sankarshan. Yeah, here in the shelter of the lotus feet of Anantadeva. Who is the expansion? Like that. So let's go ahead, we'll see. Right? Okay, so Prabhupada just elaborates here. He says that the devotees ultimate achievement is the lotus feet of the Lord, but even pure devotee, when he receives material opulence, his material opulence is actually only so-called material. Its nature change. Just like we understand the suffering of even the sadhaka is not the same as the ordinary person. It has a different quality. The quality of the devotee's material opulence is not the same as of the karmi, which is binding. So the Prabhupada says that material opulence of devotee is only so-called material opulence, actually spiritual in nature. Prabhupada describes that in the purport very nicely if you go through. We will cover up to the point, another 3-4 verses, and then Chitragati Maharaj offers beautiful prayers that we will see.
Minala Gauram Shitivasasam Sphurat Kiritakeyur Katititra Kankanam Prasanna Vakta Runalochanam Vritam Tadarsha Siddheshwara Mandale Prabhum.
Upon reaching the shelter of Lord Sesa, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chitraketu saw that he was as white as the white fiber of the lotus flower. He was dressed in a bluish garment and adorned with the brilliantly glittering helmet, armlets, belt and bangles. His face was smiling and his eyes were reddish. He was surrendered by the such exalted, liberated person as Sanat Kumar.
Next 31. Taddarshana dvasta samasta kilbisha
swastha malanta garano smasthal swastha malanta garano bhayan muni karano bhayan muni pravinda bhaktya pranayashru lochana Prahishtaro manamadadipurusham.
As soon as Maharaj Chitraketu saw the Supreme Lord, he was cleansed of all material contaminants and situated in his original Krishna consciousness. Being completely purified, he became silent and grave. And because of love for the Lord, tears fell from his eyes and his hairs stood on end. With great devotion and love, he offered his respectful obeisance unto the original personality of Godhead.
So many times it is described, you know, when the devotee comes in touch with the Lord, Taddarshana dhosta samasta kilbisha, all his sins or contamination are destroyed. What does that mean? If he could not see the Lord, you know, he is such an exalted position. If there had been some contamination, he could not have received the audience of the Lord. Right? So what is the meaning when it is described? When his all contamination were described? All his material contamination was destroyed, right? He was purified of material contamination. What that means?
Yeah.
what I'm saying, now he's seeing the Lord. The sins were actually destroyed much before. He can't reach the Lord, the stage of Narasanivritti. No, prema is the ultimate stage. Oh, within the prema, then there are another sometimes 7 stages, 8 stages, 9 stages described. But at the stage there are no sinful or material contamination remaining. No, there can't be. After a person goes above bhava, there are 9 stages of sadhana bhakti. When a person reaches the stage from bhava to prema, then there is no material contamination remaining. The sneha, man, pranay, mahabhava, other stages are stages of prema. There is no material contamination within that. Yeah, sin and arthas, everything is destroyed actually. No, there is no. Actually, yes. You are saying that? No, actually. Basically, even if you see Maharaj Yudhishthira, he described when he embraced the Lord, Krishna came to meet him, he was purified of all material contamination. It is described with respect to so many pure devotees, actually. He became free from material contamination. He said, what? Embracing the Lord already became his cousin, and in such intimate dealing, still material contamination remaining? No. There are 2 meanings to this. One is the journal meaning. Anyone who comes in touch with the Lord, material contamination is destroyed. Journal. It's a journalized statement, not specific for that person. One thing. Second, applied to him, it means his pain of separation, which was like a burning. So the pain of separation is also looks like the burning of the material miseries, you know. That's what I described, that ultimately when the devotees feel pain, they suffer in pain of separation, it resembles the material misery, the pain caused by the material misery, outwardly. So he said, samasta kilbisha means the separation, the pain which they had because of separation from the Lord, that is destroyed on meeting the Lord for pure devotees. So there are 2 ways to understand this statement, because this statement will appear again and again and again. That on meeting this devotee is the material remaining, all the attachment or you know etc. destroyed. But actually it doesn't refer to the material contamination at all for the pure devotee. Okay, another 2-3 verses quickly we'll cover. Sauttama shloka padabja vistaram. Prema shrulesha rupameha yanmuhu. Prasamidutum chiram.
With tears of love and affection, Chitraketu repeatedly motioned with the resting place of the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, because his voice was choked in ecstasy. For a considerable time he was unable to utter any of the letters of the alphabet to offer the Lord's suitable prayers.
Okay, here is Chitraketu Maharaj offering prayers to Lord Ananta. Right? And he is surrounded by the Sanat Kumaras, mentioned in the verse. Okay. 33. And then the prayers begin. Prayers we will cover tomorrow.
Tata samadhaya mano minishaya. Vavasha etat prati labda vagaso. Niyamya sarvendriya bahya vartanam. Jagad gurum sattvata shastra vigraham.
Thereafter, by controlling his mind with his intelligence and thus restricting his senses from external engagements, he recovering suitable words with which to express his feeling. Thus he began offering prayers to the Lord, who is the personification of the holy scriptures, the Saswat Samhita, like the Brahma Samhita and the Narada Pancharatra, and who is the spiritual master of all. He offered his prayer as follows.
Okay, so then Chitraketu Maharaj began offering. Prabhupada says that saying he recovered suitable worlds. Babash etat prati labdha vag asau. He was not finding, in the ecstasy, what should he say, but then by the mercy of the Lord, the suitable words came to his mind. And Prabhupada says, the suitable words are those for us, sadhakas. What are the suitable words? The prayers which have been used by the devotees of the Lord. One should recite those prayers. One should not sing mundane songs. Actually, one should not glorify the Lord with mundane songs, although appearing to be spiritual, but they have an element of mundane hankering within that. Right? A Vaishnav Mukhod Giranam Puto Mahari Kathamritam Shavanam Naiv Nakarta. Sanatana Goswami has warned. So there are many songs which are composed. One can just use them as a tool in the sense to quote sometimes, sometime. But it's not that one starts glorifying the Lord with some filmy songs in journal, because there is an element of mundaneness over there. It's not proper to use those. Only those pure devotees have composed. The quality we can't judge, although the words may be using the names of the Lord and all that, but still it is contaminated by their mundane hankering. They compose all these songs for the sake of earning money, for the sake of popularity. So that subtle contamination remains. Right? So therefore, one should not glorify the Lord with mundanely composed prayer than the songs, although looking very spiritual. But one cannot judge that subtle contamination. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami has composed this verse. Milk, pure milk and milk touched by a serpent, you can't look the same actually. Right? So therefore, but they are different in quality. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll continue. Grantra Shrimad Bhagatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.